What's up, everyone?
Okay, I'm just getting into character.
Okay, it's true. Hello, and welcome back to the Halfway Project podcast. My name is Becky, and over here is Cedric Sky City, and you are joining us for another wonderful episode at the Halfway Project podcast.
Hello, everybody.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was about to say hi or something, but I realized that would have broke the flow.
You can say hi. You can say hi whenever you want.
Hi. What's up, everyone?
Throughout the podcast, you'll just say hi. You now have permission. Well, thanks, everyone, for being here today. We are so excited to talk about this next topic. And I wouldn't be surprised if many of you have already heard about this. So we're going to come at it from hopefully something with deeper learning, wider learning, more cultural complexities. That threw me off. Turn off the aircon. But as always, we're here to do a couple deep dives, and we hope that you will learn something new, even if you have heard this word before. And while our topic today is, cooks, care to do the honors?
눈치.
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 Do you know what 눈치 is?
I do. Yes, I do know what it is. But after researching for or preparing for this episode, I realized that there were probably slight gaps in my understanding. But I think overall, I knew what it was.
When did you first hear about 눈치?
I don't remember exactly. I do know that it was a common part of the conversation when I was living in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So there was a very big Korean-American community there. And that was pretty much my social circle for the 5 years I was there. And so we would always talk about, whether we have 눈치 or not. And,
That was your normal conversation?
I mean, not like every day. But, I mean, it was a common occurrence to come up in conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So I do know it was a part of that time. But before me moving to New Jersey, I don't know if I've ever remember hearing it. And I'm sure I've heard it, but just didn't know what it was.
Did your mom ever say to you, "Oh, 우리 아들 눈치 없다"? Mm-hmm. Like she never said that, huh?
No.
Yeah, I can't remember if my mom ever told me. Definitely, she's never said 눈치 있다 or 눈치 빠르다.
Mm-hmm.
If she ever mentioned 눈치, it would probably 눈치 없어.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not. I know my mom knows, obviously knows what it is, but I don't know if it was really a common part of her vocabulary, at least when she was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I know the concept existed. And I guess it was a term that they used then, but yeah. So I've never heard it from her.
Yeah, I can't remember the first time I've heard it. But I definitely heard it a lot more in the States than I have here in Korea, which is funny because what I will argue today is that it is a very uniquely Korean term that in its fullness of understanding can only be felt and understood in the Korean context. So I do not think you can take 눈치 innately in what it means, pull it out of the Korean culture, drop it somewhere else, and call that 눈치 also.
Right. I mean, because it's just a whole nother thing. I mean, there's, I guess, a little bit of crossover and similarities, and we'll talk more about it because it's extremely nuanced. Mm. And I think it's very, very, I don't want to use the word exclusive, but almost exclusive to Korean culture.
Or this high context culture. Let's mm-hmm. qualify that just a bit, because I do think it can exist outside of Korea, but in a certain type of culture mm-hmm. and society. Well, I guess we should describe what 눈치 is, though, to people who have never heard of this term before.
Yeah.
눈치. Well, okay. So I'm wondering which definition I should use, because we're going to be continually qualifying this term as the episode goes and you get more and more of the layers and complexity of 눈치, and understanding that it's very multifaceted. But the definitions that I pulled out from, I was looking primarily from Korean writers. I just thought that would give me a more straightforward understanding of 눈치through like unfiltered lens, basically. And so what I pulled out from these articles that I translated, 눈치is the ability to quickly sense and act appropriately according to the other person's feelings or the surrounding circumstances. 눈치 is a skill a means of maintaining a relationship by quickly grasping a person's emotion. This is a manner of stability in order to make a stable society. A manner of stability. That's my bad translation, sorry. It's a skill used in order to make a stable society. A specific characteristic to a society that is not about individuals, but about the group and the importance of maintaining the relationships. So 눈치 is it's a way to describe how you react to certain situations or people. You change depending on who you're talking to and what the circumstances are. And 눈치, if you have a lot of it or you're quick, you're able to read the environment or read the other person's emotions so you can respond appropriately, right? So right. Think, for example, I guess, again, it is not too easy to convey to a person who has never lived in the kind of society that's demanding 눈치. But for those who might have some experience, especially who have been in Korea or who live here now, think about the way you react to someone who's junior level to you in your office versus your boss. Or if you're drinking with your friends versus drinking with your parents, mm-hmm. right? The way you react and respond and speak is all going to be tempered by who is in your surroundings and what's the environment, what's the atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, I want to sort of add to that because I think this concept of 눈치, even though like some people are known to not really have 눈치, and I'm talking in the Korean context, mm-hmm. like, oh, the, you know, 눈치 없다. They don't have 눈치, right? But I think generally speaking, everyone has some degree of 눈치, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. it's on a subconscious level because it's ingrained in you. Mm-hmm. It's what you're used to seeing in society. It's what you've grown up with in the household. It's what your parents have trained you to do in public from a very young age. And so in different social contexts, it's just a part of you. It's not anything that you necessarily, like, I don't think most Koreans are just thinking, oh, I got to have 눈치 right now. Mm. I think it's just more like, it's sort of a gut reaction sometimes in the circumstance, right?
I like that, gut reaction.
Yeah, I mean, because I think sometimes people, when you're trying to like explain what 눈치 is, and when you use the word like it's a skill, which it is, but it's a skill that people just do automatically. You know, it's sort of like a second nature type of thing in many ways, right? And in addition to that, I do want to say and just throw out there that even though we're attempting to define it, it's almost impossible to completely translate the idea of what it is in, you know, into the English language and into the Western,
mindset.
Yeah, in the Western mindset. So just a little disclaimer, we're going to try our best, but it's extremely layered and nuanced. Mm-hmm. And so the definitions that we just went through is more just top level, general, just to kind of give you a general understanding of what it is, but it can go extremely deep.
Yes. You made a point earlier with 눈치 있다, 눈치 없다, has 눈치, does not have 눈치, or your 눈치 is quick, right? And using the phrase 눈치 있다, has almost translated into a compliment that is used to define somebody who has the social skills or the social awareness, knows the right thing to say in the right context, which, according to an article and a book that we are going to mention later, argued is the reason for Korea's success and happiness. So to kind of give a bit more context, this New York Times article, I guess it was in 2019, maybe about then, there was a Korean-American writer, and she had written an article for the New York Times and also a book that was about 눈치. And she called it The Secret to Korea's Success and Happiness, which already caught my eye as, hang on, like it's a bit of a blanket term to use for Korea's success and happiness. And she argues in her article, and I'm assuming in her book, that this soft power skill, and some words I'm using directly from her article, the soft power skill that Koreans have and have cultivated is the reason why Koreans have been able to develop their country so quickly. It's the reason why the society works so well. Mm-hmm. It's the reason why we don't have these blustery, loud-talking, pushy CEOs in Korea, but instead people who have better understanding of relationship. And the more 눈치 you have, the more possibility that you will be successful and ultimately happier.
Right.
Which, and I wasn't sure why, but the first time I read the article, it kind of gave me a little bit of warning bells in the back of my head. And I was like, wait a minute, I feel like something is missing here. This can't be This can't be everything. It was a neatly packaged view of a concept that I knew was very culturally nuanced and didn't translate directly into English nor the Western mindset, and somehow wrapped up so nicely and neatly. And the ultimate conclusion was, this makes Koreans happy and successful.
Right.
So I had to look up, okay, is this really how Korean people in Korea feel about 눈치? Does it make them happy and successful? So I was pulling up these articles, and this is how I went down the rabbit trail. And almost, I would say 9 out of 10, all the articles that I read written by Korean writers said, oh, it was a bit regrettable that this is how 눈치 was advertised to Western societies, because in fact, 눈치 is not the reason for our happiness and success, and almost conversely, is a reason for our unhappiness and lack of success in some ways. And we're going to get into that a bit more, but first, let's talk a bit more about the article. I pulled a couple of quotes from her article that she wrote for the New York Times, and also later on, I think, for The Guardian. And these are some phrases trying to explain 눈치 to her Western readers. Koreans cultivate 눈치 from a young age. Kids in Korea know the word by age 3. You usually learn it in the negative. If everyone is standing on the right side of an escalator and a kid is lounging on the left, the parent will say, why don't you have any 눈치? It's partly about not being rude, but it's also partly, why are you not plugged into your environment? In action, 눈치 involves noticing who, in any given context, is speaking. Who is listening? Who interrupts? Who apologizes? Who is rolling their eyes? From there, one can make potentially useful assessments about the nature of relationships and hierarchies within a group, the overall mood, and how to behave accordingly. Which, on one hand, is true, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it does make sense on the surface, what she is saying.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I haven't read the full book. And I guess I would like to.
Yeah, I'm interested to read it.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanna see exactly her perspective and I guess how she's writing it. Mm-hmm. Because she is a Korean American. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming if she wasn't born in the States, she grew up in the States for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is the context. So she is explaining it from a Korean American, I guess, context and standpoint.
Yeah.
Having grown up in America, even though she probably still had a Korean community, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just different, as you and I discovered after we moved to Korea.
Yes.
It's just different.
It is just different. Mm-hmm. And though I hadn't read the book, I was curious to see now what would our English-speaking readers think of this book and article? Because I already knew what the Korean speakers were thinking and people in Korea, their response to it, which was not overwhelming me. Yes, this is correct. So I was thinking, okay, what would English speakers be thinking of this book? And I headed over to Goodreads, because I always trust Goodreads, and you guys should follow me on Goodreads, because I've got a whole list of books up there that I would recommend, and you can recommend books to me too. That was a little plug on the side. But I found this one review, which was pretty plain on this reader's opinion. And I'm just going to read this one as well, if that's okay, because they just say it fine. Anybody truly well-versed in Korean culture will never write a book like this. Stop looking for the next big exotic self-help concept from the, quote, mystical East. The biggest red flag is the rose-tinted view the author has about 눈치. This alone shows she's never actually lived in Korea. 눈치 is not emotional intelligence. It's a Machiavellian framework used to pressure people below their social ranks to cater passive aggression and be silent in front of injustice. It's not something good if you have it. You either have it or you're a social castaway. 눈치 is immensely heavy social pressure to be cunning, but yet spineless, in an interpersonal relationship imposed upon every Korean as a form of stress. And even says that 눈치 is because the Korean culture lacks healthy ways of communication and freedom of expression. So lack of 눈치 is often used to justify bullying, social segregation, and discrimination in Korea. If 눈치 is truly a secret to happiness and success, why is suicide rates in Korea so high? Which is a good question.
Mm.
And so while we cannot know the author's intent behind writing this book, and we really have no idea, we can't read in her mind and look at her whole life experience and be like, oh, okay, we see what you're doing here. But for me, it is kind of easy to say, yeah, it is a one-dimensional view of a very many-dimensional thing.
Right.
Many-dimensional.
Multi-faceted
thing. 눈치. So it was a very interesting response, especially how saying it is to cater to passive aggression and be silent in front of injustice, because we do know, and I have also seen it in personal experience, that when there's something wrong happening in the whole group, oftentimes that individual is left to deal with it themselves.
Right.
And a good example that maybe may or may not be exactly what they're trying to point out here, but like on the subway, you see someone who's drunk on the subway and falls over on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets up to help them.
Mm-hmm.
We watch them or pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. Or, you know, just to stick to the subway example, I've seen maybe two or three times in my 3.5 years here where there's some sort of altercation on the subway. And I remember one time it was like two older, like ajishis, mm-hmm. that were kind of getting into it. I don't know if you were with me or not. I can't remember. But mm-hmm. They were just yelling at each other. And then like at the point of about to, you know, actually, you know, throw fists mm-hmm. or, you know, get violent. And nobody, like, it's weird because, yeah, you know, people look, but people don't really get in, you know?
Don't want to get involved.
Which on one hand, I kind of understand. It's like, you know, it's their battle to fight. They're the ones being, you know, crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know them. I don't know, you know, if they're going to lash out at me. But it's almost like a collective. We're just going to kind of pretend it's not going on.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've seen, actually, I think it was another altercation where you know, someone stepped in to make sure whoever was involved was protected.
Mm.
So you will, I'm not saying that everyone is mm-hmm. not going to, you know, step in, but I think the general consensus, because what I've noticed in America is a lot of times people will, you know, step in a lot quicker.
Mm-mm-mm. Or say something.
They'll say something or try to break up, mm-hmm. you know, the fight. Hey, just calm down, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But in Korea, it doesn't really happen in my experience.
In all of my experiences as well. Mm-hmm. I very rarely seen somebody step into something they consider is not their business, or they don't want to ruin or mess up or fracture the social environment, the 분위기, the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, we can see having 눈치 could be a good thing, because it is good to be able to sense what the other person's thinking and kind of be aware and get your bearings and react accordingly. But gone too far, 눈치, I believe, can limit your personal expression or your ability to give your opinion. Mm-hmm. Or it is also, again, it can be used in a whole social context as a way to push down minor voices. And this, I think, is also perhaps, I'm extrapolating here maybe, a reason why female workers may be facing a lot more discrimination in an office than male workers might. Because you can't speak out, you can't break the social, you know, hierarchy, the standard. And you breaking that or speaking out of it may be an indication that you don't get how things are done here.
Yeah. I mean, even in the workplace, let's just say like the boss, you know, the CEO or just like a manager is scolding, you know, maybe one coworker mm-hmm. that's sort of like, let's just say it's your same social ranking or your, I guess, hierarchical ranking in the company.
Mm.
And this one person is getting scolded for something that maybe is they shouldn't get scolded for, or they right. didn't do anything wrong, right. or it's just very unjust.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, or maybe even 10 times out of 10, like his or her other coworkers aren't going to like, hey, you know, boss man, you know, chill out.
Oh, that was me who did it. You know, it wasn't her.
Right. Or they won't even if it was like, it wasn't, you know, them who did it, they won't like rally to necessarily support them, at right. least publicly.
Right, right.
Probably like after the boss leaves the room, it's like, oh, are you okay? Mm-hmm, like that sort mm-hmm. of thing might happen. But yeah, versus I think in the States, you know, there's probably a greater chance of, you know, maybe getting a little bit more support. It really depends. Yeah. I don't want to overgeneralize, but yeah, I mean, that's why it's really hard to sort of explain this.
It is hard to explain it because I feel like we have to keep qualifying ourselves, yeah. qualifying. But I mean, all of this does fall under this big topic of 눈치, what could 눈치 be? In contrast to what we just said, pulling again from her article, she mentions, now this was to me quite interesting. She says, 눈치 isn't just something nice to have. It's a mean of survival and well-being, which on one hand I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably true, especially in Korean society. And we're going to explain that a little bit more later on. But then she says, deliberate or not, the ick from someone who is 눈치 deficient yields the same result. Think about friends who are no longer your friends, not because of malice, but because people just don't want to be around them. Most likely, no one will ever tell this person why they lost friends, were passed up for promotions, or seem to find that doors open to others are closed for them. For such people, life is a mystery. In essence, she's saying, you don't have 눈치, this is what can happen to you. You don't have 눈치, maybe that's why people don't want to be your friends. Maybe this is why you can't get a promotion. This is why da 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 da, which again was kind of a blanket statement on how harmful Nunchi can be. And when I was thinking, okay, is this true? Is this really how people might view that? Again, I pulled into these Korean articles, and there's one writer who she spent many years working in the States, and she was responding directly to this article, and she was saying, it's very hurtful when someone says you don't have nunchi. And in contrast, people who don't have nunchi, and she's writing this in Korean, 눈치 없는 사람은, have more confidence. 자신감이 있어. 오히려, right? Because they're not afraid of what other people think of them. They're not afraid to make a mistake because how they're not viewing that other person and being so cautious of them and I don't want to make a mistake or blunder in front of you, because the way they view themselves and their value and confidence is not reliant on how the other person views them. When, on the other hand, if you're taking nunchi seriously, you're always thinking, what's the other person think? I got to respond appropriately to you. So in contrast, your self-confidence can go down as your nunchi goes up, which is, I think, you know, a byproduct of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it was a very weird statement to hear, like, people who don't have nunchi, maybe you're no longer friends with them. Which I gotta say, I don't agree with that, right? But we're not here to pick apart her article. We're here to talk about nunchi.
Right.
But so then we'll ask the question. So do we agree with these statements or not? Let's dive more into nunchi. Let's explain this just a little bit more about nunchi.
Sure, sure. So it's a higher possibility of success in society if you have nunchi, but you can lose yourself.
Mind you, this is the Korean speaker, the Korean articles.
Sure.
So these, again, are all statements or opinions I've pulled from Korean articles. So she is conceding, yes, you could be more successful in the Korean society context if you have nunchi, not because it's giving you a leg up, or it's a secret that you can have to have success, but because it's a requirement. You have to have nunchi if you're going to make it in this
society. Yeah, it's like you know how to play the game and you could play it slightly better than the other person to get a leg up, maybe. You know what to say. You know how to say it. You know the timing of it. You know, things like that.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you have a lot of nunchi, and I think primarily we're speaking in where there's a rigid hierarchy going on, whether this is groups or organizations or the business space or the military, right? Having nunchi means you know what to say in your space. You're looking to the left, you're looking to the right. Okay, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? I'm going to respond accordingly so that I don't step out of formation here. And so having nunchi doesn't necessarily mean you are a good person or have high EQ, or you are nice, or even a good worker. It just means you look good in front of people, and you know how not to rock the boat. But we know that doesn't equate to being a good person or a good worker.
Right. So what about the concept or the idea of having, like, more nunchi? Do you look better in front of the eyes of people? You know, I think some people who maybe have sort of a misunderstanding of it maybe think that way. Like, oh, it's sort of like a social badge, you know. People are like, wow, good job, you know.
Yes,
but from my understanding, it's not really like that. I don't think,
maybe not in all contexts.
Yeah.
And we constantly have to keep saying that, not in all contexts. And we'll reach a main point here, because I did talk to a friend. She's a cultural and language expert here in Korea, and so I gave her a call and I was asking her, explain to me more nunchi, what you think nunchi is. And we did talk about this, and ultimately she said that nunchi is essentially, it's more of a negative concept than anything. And saying you don't have nunchi is a very hurtful thing to hear. But she also says, depending on what context you're in, having the appropriate amount of nunchi is very necessary. But does it lead to your happiness and success? She would argue no. And it's funny because I definitely know people that I would not think have lots of nunchi. And mind you, nunchi is different from common sense, right? Or self-awareness.
Right.
It is different. I'm not sure if we're able to convey quite, you know, the slight nuances between that. I definitely know some people where it's like, no nunchi here. But that doesn't mean they're bad people. But in the Korean context, in this Korean culture, in this hierarchy structure, it can easily be conflated into that, saying, oh, they don't have nunchi, they must not be good workers. They don't have nunchi, they must not be good people. They don't have nunchi, they don't know how to respect.
Right.
And that can be dangerous when they're conflated like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that using the phrase, you know, 눈치 없다고, like, you don't have 눈치, can in the end, it is not inspiring or encouraging people to be part of a healthier and happier society. So earlier I had said, I think that the purest form of nunchi, if that's what you call it, or the original form of nunchi, can be only found in certain cultures or societies, like what we see in Korea. More collectivist, more concerned about the other. You have your position is interdependent on those around you, where you fit into the structure, and it's important to be able to keep the social peace, right? And the your social standing among all of this. So this is where I think nunchi is more pure in its form, I suppose, or more natural. And when you think of it, on contrast, individualistic societies or societies where the personal is more important, where you have more freedom of expression, you can keep your opinion, you can say what you want, doesn't matter who you're talking to, right? Because the individual's freedoms are respected. It's a more horizontal society as opposed to this hierarchical up and down mm-hmm. society, right? And so in those societies, I think it is hard to understand nunchi fully. And in that case, saying nunchi is just a way of having self-awareness and reading the room well, then it does just become a nice social skill to have, right? Because it does give you a bit of an edge if you're able to understand what's happening and read people better. But in that form, I wouldn't say that is nunchi mm-hmm. per se, right? And earlier, again, we have been mentioning having too much nunchi could be quite a negative thing because you care so much about what the other person is thinking. You care too much about their opinions and you're too afraid to speak up. And I was thinking about this, you know, my short stint of teaching English. I remember when I was teaching elementary kids and middle school kids, especially younger middle schoolers, they are not afraid as much to speak out, right? Mm-hmm. They tell you their opinion. They try their answer even if it's wrong. And I found that really refreshing on contrast to when I was teaching high schoolers. And I would ask a question and nobody would speak up. Mm. Nobody would say anything because, I don't know, they don't want to break the status quo or speak right. up. They're supposed to listen to the teacher. They don't want to be wrong and make the wrong mistake. This was something that was a bit frustrating.
Yeah, so I guess they had more time to sort of develop that nunchi within them.
Right.
Yeah.
Too afraid to speak out mm-hmm. and give your opinion. You start to worry like, oh, why did I say that? Right? Or you self-criticize yourself too much.
Right.
And I think that can be a downfall of nunchi.
Right. Yeah. And they say that a person with high confidence doesn't have nunchi mm-hmm. and you still believe in yourself and your worth, even if you make a mistake and your hoped for result doesn't happen mm-hmm. or doesn't come to pass.
Yeah. This is kind of like, you know, the mental health video that I released recently on the mm-hmm. Happy Project, how I was mentioning that in the two different types of cultures, just a generalization of collectivism, individualism, how in collectivism, you are in charge of your life. You need to reach out and grab it. Grab the opportunity, you know, catch it. You have to reach out and do it yourself. And that seems to go against the concept of nunchi, which is don't step out and make that mistake because you could be wrong, right?
Right.
So nunchi, yeah, like it is hard. It's hard to put the finger on it because mm-hmm. in one way it can be positive. But I think to make a statement as saying nunchi is a way for Koreans people happiness and success is a little bit, in this writer in Korean, 아쉬웠다, kind of a little regrettable that mm-hmm. that's how she said it. And another person had even expressed great surprise and disdain that in fact, if we didn't have nunchi like this, we weren't required to use nunchi, we could have progressed even faster. But that's what their opinions are.
Right. So another thing to understand is Korea is a high context culture, mm-hmm. right? So it's a very implicit culture with implicit words and actions and rules. So mm-hmm. it's not necessarily just very
straightforward.
Over. Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, you have to just learn how to, with the context, I guess, read and interpret,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think that's where, you know, that's where the concept of nunchi really shines because you have to be able to understand and interpret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It can be very stressful. I don't think it comes innately to anyone mm-hmm. or everyone. It is cultivated over time. And I do think this is why a lot of times when you have non-Korean speakers, non-Koreans coming to Korea and trying to navigate this, a lot of times you hear like, why don't people just tell me straightforward what they want?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just tell me what they want? I don't understand.
Right. I mean, even, you know, and this is, I guess, has to do with the language. A lot of times...
Language, yes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times in I guess, the normal dealings of like speaking the language, depending on where you are in the hierarchy structure, mm-hmm. the way you speak is very, what's the word? Like passive, kind of like a
roundabout.
Yeah. Very roundabout. Yeah. Right. Instead of direct.
Right.
And that's just sort of, I guess, even within the language, you see that at play.
It is so true. Mm-hmm. Like there's a certain phrase that is used when you want to say how you want things to be done.
Right.
But you don't say it directly. And so the translation might end up, if we do it this way, I want to say this would be the better option.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so roundabout when you translate it. But when you hear it in Korean, you get what they're saying, do it this way.
Yeah.
Right? It's very implicit.
Yeah. And it's a socially acceptable way of speaking too. And
that's right.
You know what I mean? Whereas yeah. like if you were to, as a someone from say the States or from the West, you're like, why are they being so passive? Just say what you want.
Right.
So, I mean, that's to your point that, you know, a lot of people are like, just like, we don't get it. Just say it.
Right.
But it's just not that part of, it's not part of the culture the way it is in the West.
Mm-mm. You want to avoid offending.
You
want to avoid rocking the boat. And on that term of language, so my friend who I'd been speaking to and asking these questions, she theorized that the Korean language itself led to the rise of 눈치 and the requirement of 눈치.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've said before on this podcast, the Korean language is, it's very structured, and it's the usage of your phrases and the way you use grammar changes dependent on the other person that you're speaking to or who you're speaking to. Even though you might be saying the exact same thing contextually, the grammar forms that you are using changes mm-hmm. dependent on who is the other person. So if I'm talking to you and we are somewhat on a horizontal relationship because you're older than me, because you're oppa, right? There is slightly mm-hmm. standing if we want to look at it this way. But still, because of our relationship, the context of a relationship, I might be able to speak to you in a very informal manner.
And you oftentimes do.
And I oftentimes do. But even if I want to say the exact same thing to you, like, oppa, 밥 먹자.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, oppa, let's eat. But I would not use that way of speaking, say, to my uncle, whom I haven't seen in a very long time and mm-hmm. who's much older.
Even though you might even be really close to them.
That's right.
Yeah, you still wouldn't just do
you
that.
You wouldn't.
I think maybe one of the very few exceptions is maybe to your parents,
maybe.
Your Korean parents.
Maybe.
It depends.
Again,
right?
It depends.
And on your relationship and even your age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to use 눈치
yeah.
to figure out, is it appropriate for me to say this to them at this time?
Yeah.
And it is dependent on your relationship. But all of that is very implicit, right? You can't explicitly say to somebody, hey, I am your parent, therefore you have to speak like this kind of grammar form with me,
mm-hmm.
right? It's rather implicit, and you're using 눈치 to kind of suss this out.
Yeah.
So my friend, she was saying, yeah, language leads to this requirement of 눈치, this reading the room. You don't know where your standing is with that person is, so you kind of feel it out, right? And you use the appropriate language to establish like this safety barrier here. It is rather indirect, isn't it?
Right. And I have to say, like, if you haven't been around too many like Koreans in a place, mm. especially like in any sort of context, whether it be like, let's just say church, or let's just say you know, in the work context,
mm-hmm.
it's really funny from a Western's perspective to see the interaction, to physically see the interaction and the 눈치 at play. Because you'll see, for example, you'll have, let's just take a arbitrary or like hypothetical mm-hmm. like networking event, right, for business. And you have like the CEO in the room, and then you have like, you know, maybe a younger startup like founder, and then you have just a company worker. Let's just say they all gather together and then they're introducing each other. Just looking at them physically, how they're interacting, you'll be able to tell who's who.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, you'll see that maybe the younger CEO is still like, even though he's a CEO of a startup and let's just say successful so far, like he's going to sort of, I don't know how to put it, like kind of bow down and definitely show respect to the older CEO,
Mm-mm-mm.
right? And let's say the older CEO is not even like as successful or doesn't even make as much money because of his younger status.
Mm-mm.
And he knows he's still a CEO, even though he's maybe not as successful as him, he's still going to like have this sort of, I don't know. I guess Westerners can like interpret it as, this is awkward. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, just kind of like this little stutter bow and then, or, you know, doesn't really directly
the
like
stutter bow.
Like doesn't your really directly look him in the eye.
Kind of hunched over.
Right, right. And then you might have like the company worker who is just like super like doesn't say too much, mm-hmm. just kind of insults or greets them and like it's really funny to see. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so used to seeing it. I grew up seeing it in church all the time because like the pastor is always the one usually in that context that had the most quote unquote power. Mm-hmm. You know, in the hierarchy structure and just seeing, I guess it is weird.
It's if you're funny not used when to we're that. Speaking it out like this.
Yeah.
You know, nunchi goes both ways too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, the hubei or the juniors would be using nunchi with the elders because they don't want any form of punishment or stepping out of line. Mm-hmm. But conversely, the people who are senior will also use nunchi just mm-hmm. to maintain, you know, the piece, if they're smart about it, if they have nunchi. And I was just thinking of an example of this Korean church that I used to go to, and this one onnu who was at the Korean church. And the pastor came over to, I was staying at their house, the pastor came over to our place, and he had brought durian fruit, mm-hmm. right? Which we know durian fruit has a very strong smell. Some people mm-hmm. love it, some people hate it. And so he brought durian fruit, he had just visited Taiwan. So it was me, the pastor, my onni, and that onni's husband, okay? Mm-hmm. And she had some status in the church, but the pastor, of course, was still in a higher position. And so when he came in, he was like, I brought you guys this gift from Taiwan. People there love it. It's called durian and it's so tasty. You guys have to try it. And so for her, this is my guest at my house. This is the pastor. He's bringing us a gift. So mm-hmm. her nunchi is saying, I have to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So he pulled out the durian fruit and sliced it up for all of us. And already I'm like, I can't eat this. But you have to, because he's very like, I got this just for you. So my onni takes a bite of it. She goes, oh, moksanim, thank you so much. I'm so glad you brought it. And she visibly gags. She's like, oh, 목사님, 맛있게 먹겠습니다. And I was trying so hard not to laugh.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to eat my own durian fruit. And the 목사님, he's using nunchi in this moment.
Right.
Where he says, oh, not everybody likes it.
Right,
but I thought you'd like to give it a try. He doesn't point at her. He doesn't be like, this is ridiculous. He said, oh, you know, everyone loves it in Taiwan. Like totally overlooks what she did.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Why she was like, so good. She gagged twice.
Right.
But he showed good nunchi in that moment. I was quite impressed because I was like trying so hard not to laugh.
Yeah. And I think a lot more people like in that context, whether like if they were in your friend's context, they probably would have to try it because they feel like they need
obligated.
To, even though they know they would hate it, even mm-hmm. to the point of gagging.
Yeah.
And the question is, like, would I do it? And I feel like I would in that context.
I would too. Well, I did.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. But, I think people, as you have seen personally and I've seen, like, people who are not of the Korean ethnic mm-hmm. cultural background, mm-hmm. Many times they're like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm not going to eat that.
Right, right.
Which can be interpreted as, oh, that's kind of disrespectful
to
a Korean.
That's right.
Right. So, like, if you're, like, for example, if you're, I don't know, just some dude from the States dating like a Korean girl mm-hmm. and she brings you to the house. The thing you should do that's appropriate to, I guess, appease the mom is you eat all the food.
Eat everything.
You know? Yeah. And also on top of that, whether you like it or not, you better say it's good.
Thank you.
Right, right. But I think, that's more like it's understood. It's implicit in the culture versus in the West. You're more like, oh, I'm good. No, thank you.
That's
even
right.
if you're respectful and you're like, no, no, thank you. It could be taken as no nunchi or disrespectful.
That was one time in my life I remember very distinctly when I was hanging out with the group of Koreans. And there was one girl who was older than me. She was in my class and she offered me some, I guess it was like, I don't know what, I can't remember, but she offered me something to eat. And she's like, oh, Becky, 너 이거 먹어, right? You eat this one. And I remember I was very full. I just, mm-hmm. and I said, oh, no, I'm really okay. And she was already in the act of passing it over on my plate. And then she like looked at me and she goes, 너 진짜 눈치 없어. And then put it back on her plate. And it really offended me. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, she's not expecting me to actually eat it.
Right.
You're not expected to actually eat it. You don't have to. But it is about keeping that social standard.
Yeah, that's a good
you
example.
Offered me something and you're older than me. I should have been respectful and of course, thank you. Yes, I'll enjoy it. But I don't actually eat it.
Right.
So I guess this is that kind of 돌려마, right?
Right. And you got to think about this. Like everyone's been around the block. So the people who are maybe in higher power that are expecting you to, for example, like at least take something that they give you and to appreciate it. they do the same thing too. Like yes. they know it. Yes. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. Like they implicit. Know, they even know when you're playing the Nunchi game.
Yes. So, and that's why Nunchi can only work in this context. Yeah. Like by this concept of Nunchi, this definition of Nunchi. Yeah, yeah. Because it is a mutual understanding. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw out this one thing where someone might ask, well, then where exactly does Nunchi come into play? Why do we have Nunchi in the Korean culture and society? In the way past, I'm not entirely sure if this theory works. Of course, there's the whole Confucianism. Dang it, I always say that wrong. Confucianism. Confucius culture and you know, social rankings did exist, of course. So that could be why Nunchi is in play. But another thing that I read was it's because in Korea, the system is still militaristic, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All the men have to go to the military and there they learn their rankings mm-hmm. and how to speak and who do you speak to and how you're supposed to react and don't break the ranks, right? Then coming out of the military, many of the offices are still like that. It's autocratic. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Where your position is, where your ranking is. And so you have a companies in Korea where the organization is this combined power of having the superior, right? And then this Confucianism ideology, and then the military style authoritarian culture that was enforced, especially even from the Japanese colonial period up to today. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense why you would see this way of Nunchi interacting, especially in companies right. in Korea. And something I would like to add is that it is something primarily I think the older generation uses more. I feel mm-hmm. like Nunchi, the concept of Nunchi or the requirement of Nunchi, maybe is fading out a little bit as the younger generations feel more freedom to express themselves and show their personality, mm-hmm. you know, and not feel so confined by what is expected of them. It still exists, of course, and we all know how to do it. But I think that using the word between your friends, for example, Nunchi, so Nunchi 없다, is not as common.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I kind of came across that word here. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have, but maybe just in a different way, different context versus when I was in the States with my mm-hmm. friends.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like 눈치, 있어 눈치 없다, like I heard a lot more in the States than I did here. And maybe it could have to do with because in the US, it's still a somewhat not as quickly modernized Korean culture and society mm-hmm. as it is here in Korea, which would just make sense. I guess, is there anything else that we wanted to mention about Nunchi?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that is the general gist. It's just super nuanced, you know, and it's almost impossible to understand unless you're in the context. And, right. You know, I think even as maybe even as an outsider or as a foreigner that comes into the Korean culture, I think mm-hmm. you can eventually probably understand it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at a native level, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think there are some foreigners, quote unquote, that's what we call, mm-hmm. you know, people here mm-hmm. who are not Korean or from Korea. I think, you know, a lot of foreigners eventually pick up on it and it's a skill that they sort of develop as well. Not everybody, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just super nuanced and there's no way that we can fully articulate exactly what it is.
Can Nunchi be used outside of the context of Korean culture and society?
I mean, I guess you could, but I don't know if it wouldn't work the same way.
That's right. I also kind of agree with you. I think maybe a form of Nunchi, a facet of Nunchi, mm-hmm. one slice of Nunchi can be used in some certain context in another, right? But in that regard then, is it really Nunchi or is it now just common sense or just self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Who's to say? I don't know. But it is very layered and nuanced. And I hope we were able to kind of explain a little bit more of Nunchi and what it means. But even people who live in Korea their entire lives still might be missing out on what this Nunchi thing is because it's hard to read another person's emotions. It's hard to know what's going on all the time, right? So no wonder there's a lot of stress that sometimes people feel when they live abroad and then return to Korea. Because this implicit burden, this expectation, it does exist. And one form of that is in Nunchi. So that was a fun topic for me to talk about as well.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had to think about Nunchi in this way. So it was very good. And I actually learned. I learned a lot. I think Nunchi is a little bit more nuanced than I had originally thought.
Right. Felt. Same. Well, we hope that this offered a little bit more of understanding to you guys. If you want to, of course, you're always free to read the book. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but the author is Eunhee Hong, and she also wrote the book The Birth of Korean Cool, which right. I think was a little bit more popular, at least here. If you have your own experience with Nunchi, or you feel like this is what Nunchi is, having grown up in Korea or whatever, we'd love to hear from you. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you can leave a comment below. And I guess that is it. So thank you guys so much for listening. And you can always get in touch at thehaffyproject@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We are The Haffy Project.